From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What'd you think of that end of game nonsense last night?
There were multiple fouls on the Spurs. Ginobili was over the line. At the time, the most blatant thing was the push off from the inbounder.
So many of these games in like this now, this stuff has happened all year long at the end of games, and I don't know what the answer is. If you're going to play by different rules in the last minute, then you have to let everybody play by those rules, right?
The NFL Players Association sent a memo out telling players to be cautious about eating meat in Mexico and China because some of it is contaminated by clenbuterol, which is a banned substance. Dwayne Brown tested positive last November after he came back from bye week.
Cynic in me says, really, you kept all those receipts so you could show that you ate Mexican meat just in case something showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the cynic in me. Sorry.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And we're going to go ahead and run an interview I've been telling you about, recorded a little bit earlier today, with a guy who is just a fantastic handicapper to talk a little Kentucky Derby. So if you're not a horse fan, you know, you can come back. But if you are, just great, great insight. He has covered racing for the Washington Post. He's won an Eclipse Award. He writes for Bloodhorse, Bleacher Report. He's got a great, great preview coming out on Bleacher Report. Please welcome my good friend, John Scheinman. John, how you doing, buddy?
I have literally been on cryogenic ice for the past 9 months, and now I emerge out of the chrysalis just for the Triple Crown. So it's great to be here with you.
It's like you're like Mel Kiper, right? He shows up for, you know, a few weeks before the draft and then disappears again. So
yeah. But unlike Mel, who's probably like on Bali or Honolulu, I'm in Baltimore.
Well, John, I want to ask first, before we get to this year's race, as somebody who's covered it for as long as you have, what was it like for you when American Pharoah finally ended that drought last year?
You know, it was interesting. I had an all-access pass from NBC, and I didn't really have – I wasn't writing it for anyone. So it was two sidelined Eclipse Award-winning writers, myself and Ryan Goldberg, and – we had passes, so we went and we were right in front of the finish line where all the super rich people were, and we got to watch the entire parade and race from there. And I got to tell you, Fred, when the horse crossed the finish line first, I buried my head in Ryan's coat, and he's laughing because I don't know what he thought I was doing, and I just pulled out, and I just had tears coming out of my eyes. I couldn't believe I was stunned by my own reaction. But it was just like a huge outpouring of emotion, not just for me, but everybody there. It was just it was one of the greatest, most magnificent experiences I've ever had in covering sports.
Yeah, it's funny. I had the same reaction, so don't feel bad. But I'm curious, though, is there a little bit of a hangover this year? Because even as much as I love this and as much as I've been, you know, trying to keep up with all the races, I don't sense the buzz going in. And do you think there's maybe a little hangover among the general public?
Absolutely. I mean, about, inveterate gamblers like myself, it's hard to go out without saliva coming out of the corners of my mouth waiting for Saturday to arrive. I'm very excited about this Derby. I've put in a tremendous amount of effort into my handicapping. And so if you don't love the Kentucky Derby and you like to play horses, you've gone insane. But I think in the general public, yes, this is a down Derby. I mean, I notice people coming up and talking to me and asking me what I think, but it is, the excitement that came in with American Pharoah in Dortmund going into last year's Derby, which was a power-packed field of eight horses, eight of those 18 horses had gotten 100 buyer speed figure. So there was a lot of imposing animals in there, and Dortmund and American Pharoah were, super exciting even before the thing started. We don't have that buzz yet, even with Nyquist, who's undefeated.
Yeah, and that's kind of amazing, isn't it? You've got an undefeated horse who won the juvenile, and all he's done is win in California and Florida, and there's just almost no buzz about this horse.
Well, that doesn't, to me, it doesn't bode well for Nyquist. He's just not electrifying anyone. He's not persuading anyone that he is in any way, shape, or form a dominant super horse. And this is a horse that's gone to the gate and won all seven times he's run. So, you know, I think how people feel about the horses and get excited about them emanates from the core of racing itself, from people who really follow it. And the buzz is not emanating out about this horse.
Well, one of
the general public.
Well, and I guess he may have to win for it to actually happen. And that, but I look at this field and I see a few potential winners. This is why I love having you on, because I've now given out five of the last six Triple Crown trifectas, including last year's Belmont. So you got to help me keep my streak going. Give me some bombers.
Wait a minute, you've done that. How about if I fly to Houston, you fly here, and I'll interview you?
But you know what? I'll never forget you finding Invisible Ink at 50-1 and teaching me a valuable handicapping angle that worked at Keeneland up until they changed the track surface. So, you know.
Well, very good. That was a great one, Invisible Ink. That was a superb one. That and having Giacomo, I think my legend is intact, even if I've had a few clunkers along the way.
Do you see a Giacomo in this field? That would be my question.
I'm so excited about this Derby. If I'm correct, I'm going to make a fortune.
Okay.
Here's the odds, because they just came out. They just came out at Churchill Downs. Here's the odds of my top four horses: 20-1, 10-1, 3-1, 30-1.
Nice. So
that's my top four list. What are you asking me?
So tell us who they are, my friend.
My top horse is Outwork, the Wood Memorial winner, and I will be, and I'm standing very strong with Outwork. I'm very excited about the horse. You want to know why?
Yes, I do.
Well, here's a light bulb that went off into my head about Outwork. He broke his maiden. He's the first Uncle Mo to hit the track. And there's, I think, three of them in this race, and he won his first start. Outwork began his career in April, which is something that you don't really see in Todd Pletcher runners. They usually are all set for the Belmont meets and then really focus in at Saratoga. But he had this guy ready all the way back in April, and he's a big, long, scopey horse, not like a normal compact sprinter that wins at 4.5 furlongs. But he was mature enough mentally and physically to go out in April and be. You know, I'm sure Mike Rapoli wanted it to have the first Uncle Mo winner, and he got it in April. The horse, because of minor issues, then laid off all the way until, I don't have my PPs in front of me, but it might have been, it was at the start of this year.
Yes, February 16th at Tampa.
Okay. Now let me just switch gears a second. His stablemate, Destin, had run a tune-up, and then two route races, two two-turn races before going into the Tampa Bay Derby. Outwork had 1 6 furlong sprint where he got a 77 buyer and won by about four lengths, and they went into the same race, the Tampa Bay Derby. One horse should have been dead fit with two two-turn races under his belt, and the other one had laid off for 9 months and come back with a 6 furlong sprint, and that's it for his first try for two turns. And what does he do? He leads the whole way, and Dustin just gets him in the end to beat Outwork by a length, and they set the stakes and track record for a mile and a 16th. Now, Outwork went from a 77 buyer all the way up to a 98. So he, from one turn to two turn, he did that. He had all rights to bounce and regress in his next outing. But what did he do? He did regress, and he still won the Wood Memorial on a wet track that was favoring closers, and he went into a monstrous speed duel with a very talented horse named Matt King Cole. He not only survived it, he held off the closers and won. He's going to go forward here, and he's going to win the Kentucky Derby.
All right. I love it. Okay, so who are you?
And he's also bred for class and bred for stamina. Uncle Mo on top, Empire Maker on the bottom. The stamina profile, according to the book I use, Sire Ratings, is top shelf for this.
All right, well, I'm throwing him in now. So who are your other three?
My second horse is Gunrunner, who to me, if his speed whip figures were any higher, he would probably be on top. There's not every single thing that he does is there. Every single thing about him is good. He looks great. He's bred for this. He's got beautiful tactical speed where he can set up wherever he wants. He sort of almost reminds me of like Cigar in that he gets in position exactly where he wants to be for his races. And I love his jockey, Florent Giroux. He's the coolest rising master in the game as far as I'm concerned. I haven't seen a better young rider in a very long time. And this horse comes from the family of St. Liam, and he's just done every single thing right. And I think if he can somehow bust through from those back-to-back 91 fires, he's going to be a huge threat. And all his workouts and prep for this has been outstanding.
All right. Who are your other two? I'm still waiting for one of mine.
I put Nyquist number three. He looks marvelous. He looks marvelous galloping. He just looks superb. He's starting to physically look more and more like American Pharoah every time I see him. This, you know, sort of like the new Cadillac, you know, a little sporty Cadillac that they're coming out with now. That's what he looks like. His profiles for class and distance to me are okay, but not great. And I just think I have to include him just based on his look. But I am very suspect of him. I would not be surprised if he falls off the board. He's going to face a different – listen to this, Fred. Here's something that's got to be kept in mind. When he won the Florida Derby, the pace pressure that he faced was put on by 2.99-1 shots in that race, which to me is no pace pressure at all. And when he got into the lane, even though he was widening, he was drifting to the outside. He's going to face substantially stiffer pace presence here with Mohamed and Dancing Candy that he's ever faced in his life, and I question whether he can respond to it.
Yeah, and that track always favors front runners, and I downgraded that performance a little bit. But, okay, who's your fourth one?
Well, it's a super bomb of super bombs, and it's a horse named My Man Sam for Chad Brown, which, if I'm right about this, I'm gonna call myself up and congratulate me and call myself a genius in front of the mirror while pouring champagne all over my head. That's how obscure this guy is. He's never won anything. But let's keep in mind this. He destroyed his maiden race by 8 lengths. The third place finisher came out of that race and won by 11 lengths in his next start. Then my man Sam came from 9 back to finish second to Matt King Cole. He got a 95 buyer, which was tremendous. And then if you saw the Bluegrass Stakes with Leparoux, he's languishing in 14th place from the outside post the entire race and makes this one long, giant, sweeping move to get second place. Now, one of my favorite angles in the game, and you know how I like these little angles, is Leparoux off back to Irad Ortiz. I've always liked the Leparoux off angle. Now he goes back to his regular rider, Irad Ortiz. I think this horse is wonderfully bred. I love Chad Brown. He's one of the most dangerous trainers in the country, and I just think this horse is hugely flying under the radar, as is Outwork.
Yeah, well, I like that, man. Those are all excellent picks that are off the a little bit off the charts, which is exactly what I was looking for. I'm going to throw you my one bomber to include in your bottom end of things. I don't think he has any prayer of winning, but
okay.
he's my commanding curve of this year. Sudden Breaking News, who is just going to clump up for a piece. But if you go back and watch that Arkansas Derby, he was going much faster than the winner was at the end. And he had a little more trouble in there than what it shows. He had a ton of trouble in the Rebel. I just think he's gonna be one of those horses that clunks up late for second or third, and he's going to be 30-1 when it's all said and done.
Two things about this horse. One, putting in a 59 and change work as his final workout signals a great intent. It reminded me of when Larry Jones burst upon the scene and put that 56 into or 57 into Hard Spun. And nobody really gave much credence to Hard Spun or Larry Jones. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, this horse was legit. This was that kind of workout. This was the buzz workout of the past week. And another thing, Donnie Von Hemmel has not been to the Kentucky Derby for 27 years. And if you know anything about this guy, I think he's such a great trainer. He does not show up as a vanity project like a lot of these owners do. Donnie Von Hemmel is there because this horse is legit. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and Mineshaft and a Fleet Alex. I mean, he's got all the breeding you want to go a mile and a quarter. So
absolutely, absolutely. He's a huge threat. But he's going to have traffic issues. He's got to find a way to navigate that. The Rebel was an absolute disaster for him. As soon as he started to get his motor running, he had to check.
Yeah, and he can be his own worst enemy, and that's another horse in here kind of reminds me of that Mo Tom, who
I don't know how good he is because every single race he finds himself running up behind another horse and stopping. And, you know, in a 20-horse field, chances are that's going to happen again.
I have him ranked 19th. I give him absolutely no chance. I don't see it. He's never run fast enough. And he, as I wrote in my Bleacher Report analysis, he could be in an open field and run into a wall.
So is that analysis available for people now? Can they get it?
This analysis will be available after the draw on Wednesday. I have spent weeks putting it together, and I hope people are going to get some valuable information from it, because I talk about the strengths of the horses I analyze, and then I analyze what I've seen in so many different capacities, speed figures, trips, workouts, gallops. I mean, you name it, I've looked at it. You know, I want to give you one quick prediction for the Derby, okay?
Sure.
I think I know who the front runner is going to be. I think the front runner is going to be Mohamed.
Okay.
I think he's going to ambush this field. He is a completely different animal this past couple of weeks at Churchill Downs than he was at Gulfstream Park. He was very composed and serene at Churchill. They've got him wound up like a top. If you've seen him come out onto the track, he literally leaps into the air like a gazelle before he starts galloping, and he is all on the engine. I think they want nothing to do with stalking and getting caught on an outside trip and having any kind of repeat in that they like what happened in the Florida Derby. I think this horse has a tremendous weapon and its speed, and they're going to get out there and go.
And I kind of think Dancing Candy is a little bit of a phony front runner, which, I don't want to get too much detail here, but I like that prediction. So, John, always great to talk to you, my friend. And, we got to catch up on one of these trips somewhere, either when I'm in Vegas
Absolutely.
Or something, man. So,
hey, can I break a little news to you
yeah.
over the air here?
Absolutely.
One of my greatest friends, but also the handicapper who probably has the most utility of all in the Kentucky Derby over the years is Andrew Beyer, and he's picking Dancing Candy.
Oh, I feel so much better about leaving him out of everything now.
I hope he's not listening. He's going to murder me.
Oh, that's all right. It's only on a podcast that goes to millions of people, so you're fine. So, in addition to going out over the year. So,
thank you.
So, hey, well, do me a favor. When you get that when that report's up, either send me a message on Facebook so I can tweet it out to everybody, because I know our listeners will want to get it. I want to make sure that they have access to it. So,
how could anyone not want to make money? I think we're going to get it done here.
All right. Feeling good about it, man. Again, thanks
so
much.
All
right, man. We'll talk soon.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
All right. That's John Scheinman. Terrific handicapper, and as you can tell, has some very different views on the Derby. We're going to take a very, very quick break. We'll be right back. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, but first, what we're going to do is tell you about Blue Apron.
I had one last night.
Oh, so did I.
My new package has come in the mail today.
Yep, mine's downstairs waiting for me.
I think we're eating as soon as I get home. We're eating some Blue Apron.
Yeah, I had a chicken dish last night that was just amazing.
And
I have to say that it works out great because we get three a week, and I've loved all three of them so far. We eat healthy, we eat great ingredients, and you get to make incredible meals, and they package everything, so they tell you exactly what to put in there. It's all there, so you can cook it yourself, and it's just high quality meals that are healthy and good for you. And they set the highest quality standards for the community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. And the best part is, less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron's going to deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
And listen, the great thing is they can customize it for your family's needs. If you've got allergies, they can customize for that. Fred gets three meals a week because there's only two people in his house. I've got to feed four. So I get two meals per week, and they're just bigger meals portioned out for my family. That's the great thing. It's a perfect portion size. There's no food waste. Everything's recyclable. It's all coming from sustainable farms, free-range chickens, naturally raised pork, humanely raised beef. These guys are doing the best they can to make food not only an eating experience, but just a good experience overall for the world. They're doing good things. It's worth trying out, and you can try it out for absolutely free. Check out this week's menu. Get your two meals free with free shipping. That's right. I said free meals with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create these incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. It's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. All right. I apologize for going a little long with that, but fun guy, and I haven't talked to him in a while. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. We tend to get BSing when we get going. Hey, so I'm going to give away the other four-pack to Sam Houston. Join us at Sam Houston Race Park this Saturday. Watch a Kentucky Derby in true Derby style. Win a four-pack of tickets. Join me for live racing this Saturday, May 7th at 1 p.m. Complimentary buffet and sit in the special ESPN section at Sam Houston Race Park. We've got a handicapping contest where the winner gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park with ESPN 97.5. Again, I want these to go to somebody who's going to go and somebody who knows a little bit about horse racing. So here is your question. The first caller who can call in, well, he's got the intern in there, so maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
No, he can handle it.
All right. The first caller who can call in and tell me who ran second to American Pharoah in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic, his final race. Tell me that. It's 713-780-3776, and we're hanging out and watching the races. You know what we didn't talk about with Game of Thrones yesterday?
What's that?
The very best quote that's ever been on that show.
Okay.
From Tyrion, when everyone looks disgusted at him when he goes to pour a drink. And he says, "That's what I do. I drink, and I know things."
Yeah, that is pretty good.
And I noticed that Barstool Sports already has a t-shirt, which I've already ordered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it has Tyrion's face and says, "I drink and I know things."
Damn it, I need that.
Oh, that is, I got to say, that is so me.
Does it come in different colors?
Because it's only gray.
Oh, well, see, if you got it, I can't get it.
No, I wanted a black one, but it's kind of a dark gray. But no, it's, they only have one color, $25, so I bought one. And they did a list of some of his best quotes. That one's by far the best. He says, here's a couple others that they have on the list. "Drinking and lust, no man can match me in these things. I am the god of word for breast that rhymes with mitts and wine."
It's like, that okay. Is pretty good. Should we get that on a shirt?
That would be good. How about this? This one. This is what I want on a shirt. When he's asked, "How would you like to die, Tyrion, son of Tywin?" Tyrion, "In my own bed at the age of 80 with a belly full of wine and a girl's mouth around my
right
bleep." Here's another one I like.
Rhymes with sock.
Yes.
Yeah.
"It's not easy being drunk all the time. Everyone would do it if it were easy."
That's true.
And then that great quote that he had for Joffrey when Joffrey called him a monster. "Oh, I'm a monster? Perhaps you should speak to me more softly then. Monsters are dangerous, and just now kings are dying like flies."
They do have that guy some good lines.
Oh, yeah. I like this one, too. "I'm not questioning your honor, Lord Jonos. I'm denying its existence." And one more. "It's hard to put a leash on a dog once you put a crown on its head." So those are some of the best ones. There's a lot of them that are too profane that I can,
yeah, right,
can't really do. I'm dancing around a few of these. Here's one more. "I'm not threatening the king, sir. I'm educating my nephew, Bronn. The next time Sir Meron speaks, kill him. That was a threat. See the difference?" Yeah, I love Tyrion, but I got one of those shirts. I had to. So, anyway. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And you know what? We short segment here because I went too long. So, do we have a winner for the other thing yet, John? Do we have a winner for the horse?
Nobody called.
Okay, let's try it again. We don't have a winner yet because now you can.
Knows that answer, probably.
It's not that hard. I'll give you a hint. He won the Oakland Handicap here a couple weeks ago. He's gone on to be in and won a race at Churchill. So, anyway, what do we have here? What are we supposed to do? I'm confused now because I'm trying to balance all these giveaways.
Sherry's Berries.
Well, that's an easy one to do.
I've been ordering these for years. The women in my life always love these. But the truth is, I love them myself. I like to eat them. And my wife and I eat one berry each to the kids, and then we just sit around, and she eats like two or three, and I eat all the rest because I'm a big fat pig. Mother's Day is this weekend. It's only a couple days away, and you want to give something special to the mom, the mother in your life. Here's a great way to do it. Sherry's Berries. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping. Today only, you can double the berries for just $5 more. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, type in Fred and AJ, order now.
You know, moms love these so much, my mom gets them for her mom. Nice. So I may just spoil my grandmother's gift, but that's okay. She's going to love them anyway. Here's the only way to get this amazing deal: freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99, or double the berries for just $5 more. This is an exclusive offer just for the Blitzers. Only when you use the code Fred and AJ. Visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in Fred and AJ. Let's go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and enter the code Fred and AJ. This amazing deal is for today only, and Mother's Day is this weekend. Make sure to order now.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Another giveaway. Pajamagram $100 gift certificate. Mother's Day is this Sunday. Win $100 Pajamagram gift certificate and get your mom the softest gift for the hardest job. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas exclusively from Pajamagram. She'll love the way they look and feel. Being that mom is the world's hardest job, spoil her this Mother's Day. You don't even have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery for Mother's Day is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or order or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs and tell them AJ sent you. That's caller 15. You should be reading these.
I should be, but yeah. I like it when you do.
Ah, well, you just hand me these to me.
Can I take a second to brag on my team?
Yeah, I was going to say congratulations are in order.
Yeah, I've been complaining all season long about my kids' crappy baseball team. They really are bad. They still have not won a game. They're not going to win a game. That's okay. But my kid made the All-Star team, and this is the first year he's been able to make an All-Star team. I haven't told him. I don't even know that he knows there's an All-Star team at the end of the year, but found out last night, so I told him I'll tell him today. But proud dad moment right there.
Yeah, you should be. That's very cool.
When the whole season sucked, at least we were able to take one good thing out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's good for him. We'll get to play with some really good kids.
Because I have a crappy attitude. Like, if my team sucked that bad, I'd stop trying. Hmm. But I've been really good about, like, telling him not to do that.
Yeah. 713 asks, I'll be graduating next week from UH. Any advice for a new grad with no idea about the real world? Good luck finding a gig out there.
Yeah, up graduate school.
Yeah, graduate school is not a terrible idea. The longer you can put off actually having to go get a job, assuming you have the money to do it, or your parents have the money to do it, or you're willing to go into debt, the longer you can put it off and the more education you can get, the better it'll help you. Just depends on what field you're into. And some fields you need a lot less education than others. So you're going to be a little tight getting here tomorrow.
I am going to be a little tight. So this is what's happening. I've found that as your parents get older, you become more like the adult and they become more like the child.
And I can't wait to do that to my kids. I can't wait.
So I took my dad doesn't like to drive anymore. I took him to his doctor's appointment yesterday. And then I took him to the record store. He's been wanting to go to the record, to Cactus Music. And first of all, my dad spent $200 on vinyl yesterday. I was there. I was in that store. I'm thinking, how does a store like this stay in business?
No, because people
like my dad come through there.
Yeah. Oh, I have a lot of friends that do that. And I got a whole box of old albums and stuff, some really good ones. I don't know what to do with them. Because I'm not going to play him.
Oh, my dad, he's got a bunch of good ones. He's got a bunch of old Stones albums, a bunch of old Zeppelin albums. Like, he's got the originals.
Yeah,
like,
I've got a couple of Zepps, and I've got Black Sabbath's first album,
it's
original.
Pretty cool stuff. But he, when we were there, we found out that Graham Nash is going to be at Cactus Music tomorrow, 1 o'clock. And I'm like, I don't know, Dad. I'm going to be, he's like, you think you could bring me down here? You know, we're leaving to Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah, there's always stuff to do.
I got a bunch going on, and I'm like, I don't know if I can swing it. And he just, like, looks at me, and is like, but do you think it's possible? And it's like something that you would, like, a 10-year-old would say to his dad. And I was like, oh, God, you don't want to say no to your dad. So I said, yeah, and now that's the plan, is I'm going to try to haul ass over there and get back in time for work is the goal.
Well, I'm sure you will make it.
I hope so.
If not, we can cover a little bit here.
All right.
We've done it before. It's not a big deal. But you got to take care of your dad.
You got to take care of your dad, even though it's almost Mother's Day. We've been talking about Mother's Day. Take care of your dad, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to take care of your parents, man. It's, trust me, when you lose one of them, you realize how much you wish you could do stuff like that. So
But yeah, I'm so going to do that to my kids. All right, my daughter always lectures me when, you know, I mean, she jokes with me about it, but she always lectures me when I drink too much.
Yeah.
You know, she's already turning into the adult. And it's like, that's cool, but, you know, that's what I am. That's not, I mean, it's only going to change when I die, so it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
Double Down says, congrats. Hopefully your kid negotiated an incentive-based allowance to get a nice bump for making All-Stars.
No.
So, Paolo asks, are you going to tweet out your derby plays? I will have a breakdown some point. I don't know, because we're in Vegas. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to be, but sometime before Friday night, I will have a breakdown of the race, every runner in the race. And I'll also tweet out John Scheinman's breakdown, which, believe me, he spent a lot of time on this. And we have different opinions on things, which is cool. It's like with a guy like him, it's like I do with you and RJ and Willie when it comes to sports betting. I like to bounce stuff off you guys and get your opinions and then make my own decision. So that's kind of what I do with Scheinman, with horse racing, and a couple other guys. And then I make my own decision. And then I will have plays, though. I'll have a pick four play for you, and I'll have a derby that will make you rich, a trifecta that will make you rich.
So, all right.
If it hits, which I feel good about it this year, man. It's hard not to when you've hit five of the last six.
Did they announce the starting?
No, that'll be tomorrow. Okay. They'll have the draw tomorrow. So after that, what I will try to do is sit down on the plane and ride it then. That's probably my best bet, because once we get to Vegas, there's no chance in hell I'm going to have time to sit down and break down everything. And I've still got to do Sam Houston picks for the weekend and stuff like that. So it's, you know, yeah. And it's funny mentioning my daughter telling me I drink too much. That's why I want to wear that shirt next time I take her to lunch. I drink and I know things. I feel like that describes me very well. I think I'm probably a 6'3 Tyrion.
Maybe so.
And I'm just dumb enough to have gone and talked to the dragons too. And for people asking where the picks will be posted, it'll be an Examiner article. And I'll tweet it out and I'll put it on Facebook. And I'll mention it on the show. And this is a good time to mention that maybe you should pick up Acing Racing. And if you're going to play this weekend and you've never played before and you're interested, then it's all on podcastarena.com. Hour and a half, and you'll be ready to rock and roll. You'll be able to pick your own trifecta. You won't need me. You'll no longer need me, like most people in my lives. So, anyway.
All right. If guys, this weekend, down in Kima, you're looking for something to do. You're thinking, I want to get down to the beach. It'd be nice down there. Well, there's a great thing going on. Kima Craft Beer Fest this Saturday, May 7th, from 2 to 5 down on the Kima Boardwalk. 24 breweries want you to come out and spend the day drinking their beer. Over 72 of the best craft beers. Buy tickets now. You'll save some money if you buy them up front. And you get an extra savings if you've got a military ID or you're a Landry Select Club member. Your admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, food samples. There's going to be live music all day, and the beer list is fantastic. They've got a bunch of great local beers like St. Arnold, Carbach, Buffalo Bayou, but they've got a lot of national breweries as well. Dogfish Head, Deschutes, Firestone Walker, Goose Island, Kona. A bunch of great stuff is going to be down there all for you to try. It's the Kima Boardwalk. Purchase tickets online at kimabeerfest.com, or if you happen to be at the boardwalk, you can give it at the ticket booths down there. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase. Of course, you must be 21 years of age. Once again, go to kimabeerfest.com for more details. It's the Kima Craft Beer Fest this Saturday, May 7th, from 2 to 5 p.m. No, I can't read the sign.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 and 9 p.m.
Yeah, put £5 on Leicester to win the league August 5th last year. To be honest, I never really expected this to happen right now. But, I cashed out £2 on my bet about a month ago. Got £5,600. And then last night won another £15,000. So in total, not only have Leicester won the Premier League, I've won £20,600. Initially, I was only going to put a pound on. And because I'd been drinking, I thought, if this really happens, I'm getting carried away with myself. So I changed it for a fiver. So, fantastic. People say you do stupid things when you're drunk, but I do pretty good things.
All right, we're back on the Blitz. Let's one more giveaway here, and then we're done with those for the day.
win a Canelo versus Con windbreaker jacket. On Saturday, May 7th, middleweight world champion Canelo Alvarez and two-time world champion Amir Khan will collide in a mega fight. It's power versus speed. Don't miss Canelo versus Khan. See it live on pay-per-view Saturday, May 7th, 8 p.m. Central, caller 15. All right, so now we've given away everything. Now we've done all of our reads. I've given away everything, right, John?
What a day.
Wow.
How many we had a guest for about 45 minutes in here earlier.
Craig Guest, very funny man.
Almost the whole 4 o'clock hour, which, by the way, you can see Craig this weekend, Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com for tickets for Craig Gass. Then we had a horse guest.
Yes, which I have tweeted out that segment. So if you want to get John Scheinman's breakdown, if he's right, you're going to make a ton of money. So.
And now Glenn Davis is here. He almost did not come in because he thought we were setting a trap for him.
Which we've done before. There's no question.
This is like going into a minefield.
He thought there would be half-naked pictures of his niece all over the wall. But no, we wanted to talk soccer. And I wanted to get from you exactly how big this Leicester City thing is.
It's big. Listen,
I mean, like historically big?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could make an argument this may be the greatest impossible dream sports team story in history. You could make that argument because you have to do a little bit of deeper work into this. But they were 5,000-1 odds. They barely stayed alive in the Premier League last year. They ended up 14th. And they go on to win this thing with a bunch of journeyman guys. Each guy's got some interesting, amazing story about the disappointment of their careers and then to get where they finally are. 5,000-1 odds, so you had a better chance of seeing Elvis alive and the Loch Ness Monster. And by the way, do the Blitzers like me? I don't know if they like me.
I don't know.
Because I come on to talk.
Well, no,
you don't care about the Blitzers?
I mean, I do, but I mean, listen, this is our show. We wanted to talk to you. We're going to talk to you. They're supposed to like what we like.
All right.
It has to be that way.
Yeah, I don't follow this like you do. This is why I always go to you. You're one of my go-to guys for soccer stuff. I did look up a bunch of numbers on it and how improbable it was. I'm sorry, Miracle on Ice is still number one, not close. But this is pretty improbable. The one thing I would say is, at what point did that quit becoming improbable? I mean, they've been the dominant team all season long. If there were a 4-team playoff out of this, wouldn't they be the favorites?
Well, here, you're right. And listen, throughout the year, everybody wanted to condition. Okay, well, you know, we've seen teams with a bright start, and they drop off after the December winter break, and that didn't happen. And then, well, Jamie Vardy's injured now, who's leading the league in goals scored, who was playing in the fourth division a couple of years ago. He's injured. They're going to drop now. They survived that. I think once they started getting some results against bigger teams after December, that's when people became believers. They only lost 3 games.
Yeah.
This is a league that's competitive top to bottom. This isn't like the NBA. If you're getting a lower-end team in your division, you're going to smoke them, or you can come and play 60% of your game and you're going to win. This league is tough, and it's tough top to bottom because there's always something to play for. These guys are the real deal. The thing I love about it, guys, it's all about team in a world where sports is so dominated by money and social media and individual guys branding themselves. The whole team aspect to me is something that just is so you know, you're like, I wish I was on that team.
Is it something that is repeatable? Like, could they come back next year and do this again?
Yeah, you know, people are already getting into that. So here's the thing. They're going to get a boatload of money for winning the league. They're going to get a boatload of money for winning for qualifying for the Champions League. So are they going to retain everybody? I have a feeling. I think this is a group of guys that are saying, look, my role is defined here. Why would I want to go for a little bit more money to some other club where I've got to now prove myself against 2 or 3 other big strikers? We have something special here. Let's see it out. Let's come back next year. So it's going to be fascinating to see. But they do have the resources now to keep these guys and not have their players cherry-picked by the Manchester Uniteds and Manchester Cities.
So am I reading this correctly? For the last 20 years, every Premier League trophy has gone to either London or Manchester. Arsenal, Chelsea, Man U, Man City.
All the big corporate teams, the big money teams, yep.
And I guess Blackburn won in 1995, but they did it spending a whole bunch of money, right?
That was way back. That was the only kind of disrupting of the establishment.
So,
but this is a more disrupting.
Oh, this is bigger than the Blackburn win.
Well, and I think kind of lost in this is that Tottenham had a hell of a year too, right behind them.
Absolutely.
And that's another team that's not part of that group. I mean, they're probably, you know, they're not always worried about relegation like Leicester was, but they're below that group too.
Yeah, a little wealthier team, but you're right. I think they get overshadowed in a major way by Leicester City. Here's a good stat I'll just put out for you guys in an analytic. So $80 million in transfer fees was paid for the entire squad of Leicester. Okay, compare that to Manchester City, who paid $580 million. So that's the other part of the story is the resources, which they will now acquire even bigger resources.
Is this, and maybe this is the only the comparison I can find, is this basically the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers spending all this money and the Kansas City Royals winning the World Series?
Something like that, yeah.
Without spending much.
Yeah, and I would say it would even be bigger than that, though.
Yeah, but I mean, the Royals built up over time, too. This kind of came I guess they were great at the end of the year last year because they were last, right? And they got a bunch of points at the end to avoid relegation. And so it's really been a run since the end of the season.
Yeah, it was a new manager. They fired the manager last year. They won seven of their last nine to get to safety and stay in the league. Nobody had any clue this was going to happen. And the manager's unbelievable. I mean, Claudio Ranieri, it's just a wonderful story.
Yeah, I've been reading up a lot on him since this happened. And it's just fascinating how many teams he's been with over the last few years and how they still love him at Chelsea. All right. Well, guess what? You can talk about that for starting at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
The soccer matter's coming right up. I'll be listening on the way home. Well, I'll be listening to that and flipping to the hockey because I have the over in this Lightning Islander game, 1-1 after one.
Fred, you got to start betting soccer. We could have been kings if we had bet on Leicester.
I, you know, that one I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have bet Tottenham and be pissed off that I didn't get that one home.
You know the analytics. You're one of those guys. You know it. I mean, you're my go-to guy when I lay down bets, which I haven't done.
We'll talk.
Of course,
some,
you know, you're a professional.
We'll talk some soccer. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Want to thank everybody who joined the show today. Great job, John. Great job, AJ. Glenn Davis coming up next with Soccer Matters. It's till tomorrow. Stay sports, you bitches.